song of worship to the Lord is just as much a part of Christmas as any particular song you might want to pick out. this morning, I want to give just a verbal thank you for those of you that are here that rang the bell for the Salvation Army last Friday. It is always a good time. I love the interaction with the people that come in and out, and it's interesting, you know, the ones that they just won't look at you, they walk right on by. But you know, there's so many more, and you just, you know, you be kind to them, and you just love on them, and you know, Merry Christmas to you, and whatever, and you know, they just, it's like, they probably already gave, you know, down the street, and they don't want to do it, whatever the case, but there's so many people that just love to you know, to bless the community, and you know, your part in that is very big, and I appreciate that, and I thank you all for doing your part. Also, this morning, for those of you who don't know, at this time, or at any moment while I'm preaching here in a few minutes, you can help yourself. My wife and Meredith are back there doing just exactly that. Meredith's like, no, don't point me off. My wife made some hot chocolate, and she said it is like the best hot chocolate you might ever. And there's cups back there with Liz. Harley testifies it's good. And so if you would like some hot chocolate this morning, freshly made, my wife made it this morning in the crock pot, please help yourself. And you'll find cups back there with lids. Oh, yeah, go right ahead and get it. And if any point throughout the rest of the service, even if I'm preaching, whatever, it's okay. If you decide, you know what, I want some of that stuff, you just get right up and go back and get it and enjoy that. Praise God. Again, I thank you all for coming out. You know, taking your part of your day on Christmas Day, Christmas morning, is it's big. There's a lot of families that aren't here today because they're spending time with their families, and I don't fault them for that. I think that's wonderful. And I hope that we all, you know, get opportunity to spend time with our families today. But this morning, Christmas morning, for me, is just a very special time. And so, you know, yes, we're going to have the church open, and I'm going to come, and I'm going to worship my King. You know, as I already mentioned, Christmas Day 1983, I went to the altar. You know, after about 6 months or so of God preparing my heart, I went to the altar, and I knelt down, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. In that moment, He changed my life, and I'll never be the same. And so I'm so just grateful for what He has done and so blessed that He has all the things that He's done in my life. And so, amen. Thank you for coming out this morning. I hope that, you know, if there's anyone here this morning that's been kind of in the stirring pot of love as God's working on your heart, drawing you to Himself, that maybe today you might make a decision to choose to follow Him, to choose to let Him come into your life and make you brand new. I hope that perhaps could take place in the heart and the life of everybody in this place this morning. I don't want anybody to miss out on what God has for us, and He has a lot for us. He has great things in store for each and every one of us. And so be blessed this morning. I'm going to preach a quick message, and then we're going to partake of communion in a few minutes. But I want to start with Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 35. I'll give those who are getting their drinks a minute. Man, she's just dipping that stuff right out. Save some for me. I can have mine at home, yeah. Anybody get any just awesome, wonderful Christmas surprises, something that you weren't expecting, something that God just blessed you with that you'd like to share with us this morning? Anyone? Yes, David. Hold on, let me give you this microphone so everybody can hear you.
Well, you know how sometimes you figure you can put a dollar in for something and you might win something or whatever, irregardless of what it might be. You know, you put a donation in and they got this big thing out there, you're going to win whatever, bag of groceries or who knows. So we were down in Arnett Mall, and this guy was selling knives down there, and he had a couple of chances. Well, he had chances to win a knife, so I put a couple of bucks in, and I thought, I never win anything, never. And I figured, yeah, forgot all about it. A guy called me the other day and said, you won the Bowie knife. And I don't know, the knife is probably worth a couple hundred bucks or something like that, but I put in $2 and I won the knife, and this other guy he was telling me about put in $30 and never got a chance at it, but I appreciate that, and I figured, well, God had his hands on that, so that's my gift for this year.
That Bowie knife, all right. Merry Christmas, Dave. Can't play the drum with that. Hallelujah. Yeah, I'm bringing the mic for Mike. Mike.
This right here is my Christmas present.
Amen. And thank you, Lord.
And I don't want to say it was unexpected, because I think sometimes you have to expect things. And in my heart, when I asked for a Christmas present, I just asked for my family to come to church with me.
Praise God.
Deep down inside, I expected it because I wanted it. And they're here, so this is the best gift that we could have. I woke up this morning just feeling grateful for having kids who are healthy, a family who's together.
Amen.
Who has life, who has breath. To me, that is priceless. It gets
Thank
no
you,
better
Jesus.
than this, and I'm just grateful for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You girls done daddy good today. You too, young man. Amen. Everybody get the hot chocolate they wanted? There's cookies back there, too. I didn't mention the cookies. There's what do they call them? Pitzels, is that what they call them? Go, Sarah, you want to share something?
Yeah. I was shopping, what was it, Saturday? Saturday, I think. Anyway, I was doing some last minute shopping, and I was standing in line in this at the store, and I heard these two teen girls in front of me, you know, talking back and forth, and the one said, oh, well, we're trying to figure out when we're going to go to church, or if we're going to go to church on Sunday. And the other girl says, why on earth would you go to church on Sunday? Oh, yeah, on Christmas. I'm sorry. On Christmas. And I'm like, ah, I won't say anything. Ah, I gotta. So I said to the girl, I said, whose birthday is Sunday? And she looked at me and paused a second, and then she said, Jesus. And I said, yeah, that's why we go to church on Christmas. And she waited till I came out of the store before leaving. She kind of hung herself out of the car, you know, and she goes, Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
I go, same to you.
Praise God. I hope she made it to church this morning. Amen. Oh, hey. Oh, boy, the shells are really blessed today.
Well, I'm always blessed when I have both my children in the house with me for Christmas.
Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Aw. Anyone else? I'll give one more. I'm excited about preaching. That's what you think Cruz has something he's happy about today? He's hiding. I'm blessed to have my boys here. Yeah, we're not going to share that. Let's just say God had his hand over my son at his second day at work. It was quite interesting, and we'll leave it at that. Something to do with his boss repossessing a car off the Indian reservation. It got a little challenging. We'll leave that alone. That was very interesting. Anyway, Merry Christmas, everyone. Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 35. I just want to lay down just a quick idea and principle and thought that God had laid on my heart. And this is something that, you know, I'm one of those guys that I like to know the why. Why did Jesus have to die on a cross? Well, why did Jesus, you know, have to come to this earth? Why did, was he born of a virgin? You know, I like to ask these questions, and I like to have, you know, a little bit of understanding, because when you know the why, it kind of gives you a little bit more of a understanding of what God's doing and why he's done the things he's done, and why it's so important for us to follow him and to know his word and to be able to share that with others. The Christmas story in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26, is where the birth of Jesus is going to be announced to Mary. And it says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Now, you know, before I go any farther than that, let me throw this out there. God could have picked, I mean, we knew that Jesus was going to come through a virgin. That's what the prophets knew that. They talked about that and prophesied about that. And they were looking for Jesus to, you know, the Savior, the Messiah, to come through a virgin. The interesting thing I find about what that verse just said, a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. The interesting thing I find about that is God could have chose any virgin he wanted. He didn't necessarily have to find a virgin who was already betrothed to be married. But I think that God, being the one who designed marriage, understood the importance of a child to have a mother and a father in his life. And therefore, he chose Mary, who was already betrothed to be married, to ensure that Jesus would have a mother and a father here on earth. I just think that's an interesting concept. Verse 28 says, and having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall be called his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Let's stop right there. Jesus, in order for him to die on the cross for our sins, to take our sins and pay our penalty, Jesus had to be sinless. Because the penalty of the wages of sin is death. We know that. That's what the Bible tells us. And so, in order for Jesus to be pure, to be acceptable, to take on the sins of the world. Now, if you understand the Old Testament, and I've shared this before, you understand what they did was they were allowed to transfer their sins onto these animals. Well, these animals had to be perfect. They couldn't have any blemishes. And so the sacrifice for sin had to be perfect. It had to be something that was innocent. In order for Jesus to be innocent, he had to be one who never sinned. And so he had to be born of the Holy Spirit in order that he wasn't born of the seed of Adam, because the seed of Adam is where the sin comes from. Adam and Eve sinned, and ever since then, everybody who followed them, sin was passed down through their seed. Now, for Jesus to be perfect and sinless, he had to come from a different seed. And that seed is the Holy Spirit. I want to share something with you real quick. Jesus, the Bible tells us, is the firstborn of the Spirit. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. I'm ahead of myself. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Jesus is the firstborn of the dead. What's that mean? He is the first one who rose from the dead. We know that on the cross he died. We know that, he from other readings in the Bible, we know that he went into hell. And we know that he rose from the grave. And so he was the firstborn. Now, for him to do that, again, I want you to understand this idea about the seed of the Holy Spirit that was in him, and what the seed, how important it is for us to have an understanding of the Holy Spirit's seed, not only in him, but also in us. Because you see, when the Holy Spirit impregnate someone, what comes forth? Jesus. And so Mary, she's like, how can I possibly become pregnant? I've never known a man, which means she's, you know what that means. But God says the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. And so Jesus was born of the seed, from the seed of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at what John, or what Jesus says to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. We all know this story, and this is a very important portion of Scripture that we don't really talk about all that often. And one of the reasons may be is because when we talk about being born again, and that's what this portion of Scripture is going to talk about, we have people look at us very similar to the way Nicodemus in this story, as we're going to read in a moment, looked at Jesus. And it's like, you know, Jesus talked about being born again, and what he's talking about is being born of the seed of the Holy Spirit. We've already been born of the seed of Adam. That's why we're all sinners today, and that's why we all need Jesus in order to save us. But we need to be born of the Spirit as well. The Bible tells us in John chapter 3, starting in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, why is that so important? You know, he says, most assuredly, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he can't enter the kingdom of God. Now, in order to be, for us as human beings to enter the kingdom of God, obviously we have to have been born into this world. We have to have become a person. And I'm going to talk about why that is in a few moments, why we are even here as human beings. But Jesus says that you can't enter the kingdom of God unless you've been born of water and the Spirit. And so what he's telling Nicodemus is, you know what, you've got to be born again. You have got to be born not just from the seed of Adam, but you've also got to be born from the seed of God, from the Holy Spirit. It's about the seed with which we are born with. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. It says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed. The corruptible seed is the seed that came from Adam. The seed that we all came through in the flesh. It says we must be born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And so Peter is saying the same thing here. We must be born not just of the flesh, the corruptible seed, but we must be born of the Spirit, which is an incorruptible seed. And so Jesus and Peter, they're talking about the same thing. Let's look at something else. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 says, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. What is that saying? What that's saying is those who have been born again by the Holy Spirit, it says they can't sin. Why? Because God can't sin. God's seed cannot sin. He is holy, and he says his seed remains in him. For whoever is born of God, his seed remains in him. So when we choose to follow Jesus Christ, when we choose to believe that Jesus Christ, you know, if we want to go back to John chapter 3, we can look at verse 16, for whosoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. You see, that's how you become born of the Spirit. You hear God knocking on your heart, as it says in Revelation, and you open the door and you let him in, and you get born spiritually. That's what being born again is about. It's about you all of a sudden become spiritually awakened, spiritually born again into the life of God. And so it was important for Jesus to have been born of the Holy Spirit, not of Adam, in order that he could be the sacrifice for our sins. And it's important for us to be born of the same seed from the Holy Spirit in order that we can receive the eternal life that he offers us. Last week we talked about, what did we talk about last week? Isaiah chapter 53. There was verse 10 that I talked about. I said, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in him. Now, I told you last week, we're going to bring this up again, when it says he shall see his seed. Everyone who is born again, everyone who receives God into their heart, everyone who has the seed from the Holy Spirit planted inside of them, God sees them. And God knows them. And God will not forget them. You know what? He will not let you out of his sight. God loves us so much, he gave his only begotten Son. How did he do that? Through the Holy Spirit. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How does that happen? Through the Holy Spirit. Through the seed of God being planted in our hearts. And his seed, he sees it. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have put your faith in him, God knows that. He sees that. And you know what? You know it too. One of the things that I ask people all the time, can you explain the gospel to me? And many people, you know, first I'll ask, are you saved? And many of them will say, yes, I'm saved. And then I'll say, well, can you explain salvation to me? And many of them can't explain it, but they know they're saved. Is there anyone like that this morning? If I was to come up to you and say, hey, could you explain salvation to me? Would you be able to, you know, lay it all out there in a way that I could understand it? I hope so. And the reason I hope so is because I like for people to know what they know in order that they can share it with others. Know what you know. And learn how to articulate that so you can share the gospel with other people. But chances are there are people here this morning, you know that you're saved, but it's kind of hard to put it into words. Why is it that you know that you're saved? Because when God reveals himself to you, you know it. When you get saved, you know it. And everyone else knows it too. How does everyone else know it? Because when they look at your life and they see there's a difference. Now, I've had people say, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus, I'm saved. But their life is not different than it was before they said that. I know my life changed dramatically. When I got saved, could she turn that off? I know I didn't have children's church this morning, so it was they might be a little bored with this. Sorry, honey. If there's no change, if there's no new life, then I have to question, have you truly been born of the Holy Spirit? Have you been born again? Because when the Spirit comes in, you change. So why is it important? You know, he says, he shall see his seed. He knows his seed. Why is that important for us today? You know, well, there's a passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 7 that says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, what's that saying? There's a lot, that verse is saying a lot, that passage. First of all, there's a lot of religious people out there who believe that by doing those religious things, it buys them a ticket to heaven. Well, didn't we do this in your name? And didn't we do that in your name? And Jesus said, depart from me. I never knew you. Why did he never know them? Because they never were born again. They never allowed the Holy Spirit, the seed of the Holy Spirit, to come into their hearts and give them that new life that only comes through the seed of God. You see, Mary being implanted by the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the seed of the Holy Spirit, that was a very important moment in the history of mankind. Nobody could have possibly been saved. Nobody could have gone to heaven had not Jesus come forth from God. And nobody gets to heaven unless we also get born again and we ask God, Lord, I want this new life that comes not from the seed of Adam, but from the seed of God, from the seed of the Holy Spirit. Now, why is all this important? You see, how many of us want eternal life? I think we all do. You know, eternal good life, amen. I think we all want eternal life that the Bible promises us, you know, no more tears, no more death, no more crying, no more pain, all those things. We want the you know, we talked about last week, you know, the riches, Jesus leaving his riches, becoming poor so that we could become rich. See, I remembered, you guys thought I lost it, right? I did for a moment. But we want those riches that are in the kingdom of heaven. You know, the Bible tells us to store up treasure in heaven. You know, we waste so much time running around here trying to gain the riches of this world when it's really nothing. And he wants us to store up treasure in heaven, because where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. But it's important for us to have an understanding of how to get there, of how to be born again, an understanding of the Holy Spirit seed in our lives that grows in us, so that when we get to stand before Jesus, he says, oh yeah, I know that one. Because guess what? God doesn't look at sin. You know, if I back up to where it says there, he sees his seed. If his seed is not in you, guess what? He's not looking at you. You might say, oh, well, that sounds kind of weird. Well, what's the Bible say when Jesus hung on the cross? I should have pulled that verse up, but I didn't. There's reference to the idea that God looked away from his son. And Jesus said, why have you forsaken me? Because God won't look at sin. But he sees his seed. And so we need him inside of us, so that when we stand before him, he says, I know that one. And we go to heaven, how? Not by the things we do, just like all of these who said, you know, didn't we do this and didn't we do that? We did all these things in your name. I went to church all the time. I talked about Jesus all the time. But you know what? If you don't have his seed in you, you're in trouble. Well, what's the importance of it? What's the purpose of it? I always go back, and this is something that I want you to take this next verse I'm going to give you, circle it, highlight it, get it in your heart, and understand. Because this really, to me, this is the meaning of life altogether. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. The purpose, this tells us the purpose of it all. Why we were created, this tells us why we were created. This tells us why Jesus came to earth to live out in the flesh, a sinless life in order to pay for our sins. Why he was risen from the dead. Why we, through our faith in him, are risen from the dead as well. This verse tells us exactly why. The purpose in all of it. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. That's the New King James. I like this verse in the Old King James, and I'll explain why. That's why I have it up there. It says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are created. They are and were created. for thy pleasure. Why am I here? Why are you here? We are here because God desired each and every one of us. You are here because God wanted one of you. I'm here because God wanted one of me. It gave him great pleasure to create you and I. Now, if it gave him pleasure to create us, why would he want to condemn us? Why would he want us all to die and go to hell? Why would he want us to suffer in our sins? He wouldn't. He created us because he desired us. And guess what? He desires us not just for today, but he desires us for eternity. God created us. You know, the original plan for mankind was that we would live forever. You go back to Genesis, and you read about the creation story, and you understand that God gave them the ability to live forever. But because they chose to sin, they set in motion a law, the law of sin, which has the penalty of death. Well, Jesus, he comes not from the seed of Adam, but from the seed of the Holy Spirit. So he's already sinless when he starts. And as he goes through life, all of the temptations that you and I suffer with, and you know, that's another thing I want to get to that another time, about how it talks about how Jesus suffered. And a lot of his suffering had to do with the idea that he endured every temptation that you and I have. He endured it. And believe me, that is, isn't it like suffering when you're being tempted and you're like, I know I shouldn't do this. I know I shouldn't go there. I know I shouldn't have this sin in me. I know. It's kind of suffering sometimes. But Jesus, unlike Adam and Eve, Jesus didn't sin. He chose not to. And therefore, he paid the price for us, the penalty for our sins. We are able to transfer our sins to him, not the way that they did in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, they used to lay their hands on the head of the animal, and the priest would pray a prayer or whatever, and they would kill the animal, and the sins would be transferred to the animal, and the animal's blood would pay the price for that sin, and then the next year, they had to come back and do it again. Well, it's different with Jesus. With Jesus, the way our sins are transferred to him is by faith. The just shall live by faith. We are saved by faith. And so, here's the thing. Jesus chose to live a sinless life in order that he could die for us and pay that penalty. Now, we're given a choice to believe in him so that we can live. God made it so simple. He created us for his pleasure, and he gave us a way to escape the death penalty that we also deserve. By allowing us to be born again of the same seed that Jesus Christ was born of. And we do that by putting our faith in him, in his death on the cross for our sins. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that Jesus was born of a virgin? Do you believe that he lived a sinless life? Do you believe that he died on the cross in place of you and in place of me? He took upon himself the sins of the world, my sins, your sins. Do you believe that he died on that cross and 3 days later he rose from the grave victorious over death? If you believe that, are you following him? Have you made a decision to say, God, I want that seed that Jesus was born of. I want to be born again. I want to live a new life, a life that is in God and out of sin. Have you made that choice? If you haven't made that choice, let me encourage you. Today would be a good day. As I said, I gave my life to the Lord Christmas Day, 1983, and I'll never look back. I will never go back. Has Satan tried to tempt me to get me to go back? Oh, yeah. But you know what? When you are born of the Spirit of God, when you open up your heart to him and you let him come in, and his seed starts to grow in you, changes you, changes everything about you. There are people sitting here, I got family members that know me from the, well, I got family members that know me since I was born, I mean, in the flesh, but I also have family members here that have known me since I was born in the spirit. And I'm sure every one of them could testify, oh yeah, I'm glad he's not what he was. But today we have an opportunity. And if there's anyone here, stand with me this morning. We're going to partake communion in a moment. If there's anyone here who would like to make today the day that you choose to be born again, that you choose to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and give you that new life, from the same seed that Jesus was born with, in order that you can live a life outside of all that sin, be free from it. If there's anyone here this morning that would like to make that decision, I want to make that time, I want to make that available to you to do something that acknowledges that, yes, today I choose to follow Jesus, that I choose to believe in Jesus. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you, God, that you sent Jesus to this earth. I thank you, God, that you did it for a purpose, because you had a plan all along to save me. Because you created me for your pleasure. You created all of us for you to enjoy throughout eternity, to fellowship with, to love. I thank you, God, for all that you've done. And I thank you, God, that you drew me to yourself. And when I opened up my heart, you came in and you changed my life. And you gave me new life. We thank you for that. But God, today, if there's anyone here who has yet to open up their heart to you, and today could be the day that they could make that decision, I pray that you will speak to them right now. I pray, God, that you will draw them, that you will just come into their heart, that you will knock on their heart. And God, that you give them the courage to stand for you. Bless that heart, I pray. With every head bowed and your eyes still closed, is there anyone that today would like to make that decision right now? Yes, I believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. Yes, I believe that he lived a sinless life. I believe that he died on the cross for my sin, and that he rose again from the grave so that I, through faith, could live. Is there anyone that today would like to decide, yes, I choose to believe that, and I choose to be born again from the seed, from the Holy Spirit? Is there anyone? Just raise your hand if there is. I'm going to give you everyone a moment. I can guarantee you this. I love giving this guarantee. If you will choose to follow Jesus Christ, I will guarantee he will change your life. He will make you brand new. Just one more moment. We're going to move on to communion. Anyone? Just lift up your hand and so that we can pray for you. Praise God. Father, I trust right now the work that you're doing in our hearts. I trust right now that every person who has heard this word will come to the decision to choose and to follow you. Lord, I pray that if there's one here who was a little reluctant and not willing to raise their hand at this moment, that they will come, that day will come when they will surrender to you. We all know it's not easy, God. We may have questions. We may not understand everything. But I pray, Father, that you will continue knocking on each and every heart until each and every heart responds to you. Bless each one here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you may be seated. I'm going to ask my wife to come. Christmas morning... We here, the way we do communion, we will pass it out. Everyone is welcome to partake of communion. If you feel that you have a true relationship with God, I'm not going to judge anybody. I'm not going to question anybody. You know, if you've got a relationship with God, you believe He's died for your sins and you've repented of your sins and you trust Him to save you, then you know, the Bible talks about communion. The Bible tells us that we're going to pass this out, my wife and I. We're going to do this personally this morning. Every now and again, I like to do that. If you're not comfortable, you don't want to partake of communion this morning, just give it a little twist. Pick another one. Wow. If you're just not desiring to partake of communion this morning, that's okay too. Oh, careful with that, honey. If we start running low on bread, you might have to start breaking it.
I have more.
We have more. Jordan, is this one? Is she cool? There you go. Did you get yours? All right. We'll get to you in a minute. You're always last? Well, I'll make sure she's last then. I want you to know, church, I am so blessed. Some of you know, some of you don't know, but the people that are here this morning, there are so many people here this morning that taught me all of these things. Taught me about Jesus, taught me about communion. Yeah. Okay, sure. Watch me grow in the Lord. And I'm so blessed to have so many of them here. Family members, loved ones. God bless you, Lori. How you doing? Boys, anyone? Sure. Awesome. What we got going on up there? Oh, a little baby wants some? You don't squeeze it. Sarah, you weren't the only one. Cruz had a hard time. Hey, man, look at this wonderful family here this morning. Praise God. Hey, sweetie. Oh, got your finger in that one. Awesome. Good to see you all today. Yeah. Yeah, you can't squeeze the cup. It won't come out. God bless y'all. Is she making you laugh? I was expecting you to have a hard time.
That's what God wants.
That's exactly what He wants. Amen. A little piece. Praise God. Oh, she wants a drink of your juice.
I don't know which one she wants.
Are you hungry? Amen. Amen. Sometimes I like to just pass it out personally, just because I like to fellowship with every one of you. I like to connect with every one of you, because you all bless me, and you know, as your pastor, I don't know. There's something about it. God bless you all. Thanks for coming this morning. Merry Christmas, everyone. The Bible tells us that the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he passed it around. You know, we covered his birth this morning. We're going to cover the rest of it as well. He said, this is my body. It's broken for you. And he was talking about, you know, him taking our punishment. That's what that was all about. And he said, whenever you do this in remembrance of me. And so we do this as an ordinance. We do this as a symbol of our understanding that he died for our sin. And so let's partake together. A little harder to get down than those crackers we usually have, isn't it? But then he also took a cup. There was a cup of wine, and he passed it around, and he said, this is my blood. And he said, whenever you drink of this blood, it was shed for us. His blood was shed for us. Remember, I mentioned the idea of having our sins transferred to something else, to someone else. Well, for us, it was the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for us. Because the wages of sin is death. Well, life is in the blood. And when the blood is spilled out of the body dies. And so we partake of the blood of Christ together. Because he died for us. He said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. God, I thank you that you were willing to come to this earth. I thank you, God, we were doomed without you. But with you, we have everything that heaven can afford. With you, we receive life instead of death. But it's only through your body and only through your blood that was shed for us, paying that death penalty. And so, God, we partake of your blood together with gratefulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's drink. Praise God. There's a little cup holder on the chair in front of you. If you're in the brown, the chair's in the front. And if you're in the back, you just put it on the floor or whatever. Throw it away. Listen.